We're set.
Okay. All right, can you just talk to me?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I guess let's start with, give me the Sierra Club's overall perspective on mining. Because I'm sure there's some people who are like, oh, well, you're opposed to all mining from the start, so it's just, that's your only point of view.
Yeah, no, it's important to note that the Sierra Club, you know, both at the state level and at the national level, you know, we're not an anti-mining organization. You know, we recognize that modern society, you know, has a certain demand for metals. You know, our perspective, though, when we look at potential mining development in Wisconsin, is that the environment here is especially water rich. And that makes it, you know, really almost incompatible with, you know, modern mining, especially metallic sulfide mining, where the mining itself takes place in a water-rich environment. The wastes have to be impounded safely forever in a water-rich environment. And that, you know, carries risks that are, you know, are that we don't see in other parts of the U.S., Canada, and across the globe.
So when you hear some of the people that talk about, oh, we've got a miner on the flag, it's part of our history, like that's part of our culture. I mean, how do you respond to that?
Sure. It's fundamentally mining a century and a half ago was much, much smaller in scale. The potential risks and the amount of damage that was caused was very limited. And so, yes, there's a heritage there that, you know, it's, I don't have any problem embracing that, you know, we're the Badger State, and that comes from, you know, that historical mining. But it does not compare to the industrial scale mining that is being proposed, you know, here in the state.
So walk me through, I guess, some of the evolution of the last half century in terms of mining proposals, because obviously there were some mines that got up and some that were close, and then we had a kind of moratorium, and then since then now there's been a lot more exploratory drilling going on. How much has the industry changed, and you know the facts on the ground changed?
Sure. So say in the last 50 years there was a huge exploration boom. Major oil companies, major mining companies with deep pockets spent millions and millions on exploration in northern Wisconsin beginning in the 1970s through probably the early 1990s, about the time that the Prove It First law was passed in 1991. They really weren't very successful. You know, some of it is the, you know, a big part of it is the geology of the state itself. There are some scattered deposits that have been unidentified, but they all struck out, basically. So, you know, we have the Flambeau mine, which was the one and only mine developed under the former legislative and legal regime. You know, things have since changed, but that was a very small mine. It was sort of a unicorn in a way. It was very rich and very small. In fact, it was so rich that they were able to ship their ore directly to Canada for processing. So they didn't leave the wastes behind that would be, you know, a more normal sort of operational aspect of modern mining. The Crandon deposit was discovered in the 1970s. Attempts to permit it took place over about 20 years. Ultimately, it failed, largely because of the deep opposition in the state, but also on the fact that they couldn't engineer the project to be safe. Safe enough to meet the regulations and protections at the time. There is, you know, a couple other deposits that have been identified, one up in Oneida County, and then, of course, the Bend deposit, which Greenlight Metals now is doing exploration on in the National Forest in Taylor County. But, you know, the history of mining up to this point is largely that millions and millions of dollars have been spent by companies with very deep pockets, really only to discover a handful of potentially economic deposits. Everything else that's been identified is simply not economic. It's too small, too low grade to ever get developed, at least, you know, to date. The change, of course, that's happened is that the Prove It First law was repealed back in 2017. That was a major goal of the mining industry as a whole. And now we have Greenlight Metals, which is the first company to come back and sort of try to stake a claim in as many proposals as possible, or as many deposits as possible, with a hope, you know, with the hope of kind of, I think, squeezing out any potential competition in the state. And, you know, that's where we're at now in 2025, going into 2026.
So when people say, oh, well, the technology around mining's changed. So like your grandfather's mine, and like the safety aspects that really were legitimate back in the 80s and 90s are no longer applicable. The way we can do mining today is so much different, so much safer. How do you respond to when they're making those claims?
Yeah, that's largely mining industry happy talk. Because the actual process of mining, the extraction of the ore itself, how you process it, how you deal with the waste materials, really is largely unchanged in the last 50 years. What has changed technologically for the mining industry is the increasing use of automation, robotics, artificial intelligence, all of which have been a focus of the industry to reduce its labor force, you know, and certainly make things somewhat safer. But the overall, you know, technology behind metallic mining and metallic, you know, metal processing is largely unchanged. That's, you know, there are no innovations, no serious innovations that make it a safer industry.
So when people nowadays think of mining, like they may think of like coal mining, or like back if they know anything about Wisconsin history and like, you know, Southwest Wisconsin, what is the difference between that and sulfide metallic mining?
Yeah, sure. Well, the historic sort of badger mining, if you will, in Southwest Wisconsin, these were largely relatively shallow. There a number of them were underground mines. There were very few open pit mines, just because of the nature of the geology. They were chasing veins, if you will, of the minerals, lead and zinc, largely, and they were very small scale. You know, it. The deeper you go, the more difficult it gets. You have to dewater the groundwater and deal with the wastewater. So that, you know, they were very, you know, relatively small operations. So, you know, fast forward to today, what we're seeing now are companies going back after deposits that were previously uneconomic. They're smaller, or even if they're larger, they're low grade, because the high grade ore was largely harvested a long time ago. And so what naturally happens is that by chasing those deposits that were previously uneconomic, that are low grade and maybe high quantity, is that you're actually increasing the amount of wastes that you produce. And, you know, mining companies largely are waste handlers more than they are miners. They're in the mining waste disposal business, because the vast bulk of the material that they extract is not economic ore. It's waste material that has to be dealt with perpetually to maintain its safety and avoid risk to the environment.
So walk me through the safety issues. What is it that they're bringing up and separating that process that makes that waste so dangerous?
Yeah, well, let's look at Bend, which is Greenlight Metals' only project, their flagship project currently, that they're attempting to develop in Taylor County on the National Forest. So it's a very, again, this is the fourth company, along with various partners over the years, since 1986 when the deposit was discovered, to go after Bend. Up until now, the prior companies have failed to develop it, or, you know, opted not to develop Bend because it wasn't considered economic. And the reason for that are twofold. One is that it's a metallic sulfide deposit, and so the vast majority of the waste materials are metallic sulfides. And the sulfides, when exposed to air and water, produce acid, and the acid in turn leaches heavy metals from the waste material. So imagine a finely ground up, almost powdery waste material that's left over from the processing to skim off the metals in the first place. And you have this acid-producing material that is chock full of nasty toxics that if, you know, they get into groundwater or surface waters or wetlands, are absolutely polluting and damaging to the environment. So this includes lead, mercury, arsenic, and then processed wastes such as for example, cyanide has been proposed to process the Bend ore in part to increase the amount of gold that they can retrieve from the mining. But the overall deposit at Bend is under 2% copper, meaning 98% of the material that comes out is waste. And it's an even much, much smaller amount of gold and silver, of precious metals that are there. And the process, you know, to get the metals out in the first place is also not 100% efficient. Point being is that, you know, they believe they can get efficiency up to maybe 90% of the copper. 10% of that copper that comes out of the ground goes out in fine tailings, which is also a toxic material, especially to aquatic wildlife. So that material needs to be safely handled, isolated from groundwater, from surface waters, essentially forever. And the result is you've got habitat loss. You can't grow anything on top of a tailings dump once it's closed. You've got habitat loss, habitat fragmentation. This is all after mining. But during mining, you have a highly industrial activity on the National Forest, if we're talking about the Bend deposit, where you have virtually a 24/7 operation. It's loud, it's noisy, it's dirty. It requires a fair amount of clear-cutting of the site, up to 200 acres. In the most recent full mining proposal at Bend. And, a waste dump that would be up to 100 acres of permanent habitat loss there. And then, a basically drop in a factory into the middle of a national forest, that is going to require new utility lines, new roads, truck traffic, possibly rail, into the site where it doesn't currently exist. I think it's a fundamentally incompatible land use to have on our national forest to extract a resource that can't be renewed. You know, unlike timber, unlike logging, our national forests are working forests. And that's certainly, something that we understand and, we don't always embrace it because, timber harvest can be damaging as well, but at least it's a renewable resource, unlike the, a metallic deposit that once it's gone, it can't be renewed.
How much longer is this going to go?
A little bit, yeah.
We're,